Let's do one more, which I think is important to, you know, the main features. The event at the Pentagon, people are, I think, going in circles about this. One of the first things that was known about the Pentagon, within about 2 or 3 weeks, my friend Thierry Maison of the Voltaire Network of France had come out with his analysis, which soon became a book. There was no Boeing at the Pentagon. And, of course, there wasn't. What there is a flying object, which is some kind of a cruise missile, unmanned aerial vehicle, drone aircraft, or something of this sort, which does hit the Pentagon and does create some damage. Now, there's also an argument where there are explosive charges inside the building. It's possible. But the main thing is there was a flying object because people did see something. And this is a drill. This is Amalgam Virgo 01. Now, that was carried out on June 1st to 2nd, 2001. Amalgam Virgo 01, U.S.-Canada multi-agency drill, NORAD Southeast Air Defense Sector. This is not the one in Rome, New York. This is one now in the southern states. Southeast Air Defense Sector, Coast Guard, Army, and Navy. And it's an unmanned aerial vehicle drone launched from a rogue freighter in the Gulf of Mexico or a cruise missile from a barge in the Atlantic Ocean. And it involves also testing a certain specific radar. So I think something like this is what happened at the Pentagon. In other words, it can be launched from a body of water. It can be launched from underwater. It can be launched from a mobile truck. Once you get a cruise missile or something similar into the air, it's basically almost impossible for the average person to detect, right? What you see then is the explosion. So that's the Pentagon. I see people are wasting their time about some aircraft. Did it go north of a gas station or south of a gas station? I think this is typical of the swamp of triviality and irrelevancy that this entire research effort has foundered into over the past 2 or 3 years, mainly because what we're looking for with 9/11 is not technical analysis, right? These endless technical debates about the temperature of steel, the temperature of fires, and all these other things. These are interesting and can be continued, but not with the sectarianism and the narrow-mindedness that has been done. The main evidence is political. Mystery stories are not how-done-its. They're who-done-it. And the who, in this case, is the rogue network. And they do it acting through the drills. So the merit of the drills is it puts everything back on the political plane where it belongs, rather than the apolitical, hyper-technical plane. I call the direction of the 9/11 truth movement over recent years is hyper-technical triviality or hyper-technical avoidance of the main political questions. Because the main thing is, what do you learn from this? And above all, what do you learn that's of permanent value? Political lessons of permanent value are the ones that don't just involve these things that are going to remain specific to 9/11, like the question about the temperature of steel or some other things. How do you get ready for the next one?
In the first several years after 9/11, all of the discussion among researchers and citizenry was about the politics and the capability and who benefited, etc. But in these last few years, it's become highly technical with the demolitions.
Yeah, and again, I think that the controlled demolition story, the nanothermite story associated with Professor Stephen Jones, I think this is broadly plausible. I think this is probably all in the right direction. But you've also got a lot of other people who are interested in essentially the role of an intellectual Gestapo saying, you know, we cannot entertain the idea that there was no Boeing at the Pentagon or other things. And they try to exclude people and they try to vilify them and slander them. And with the result that this movement has fallen pretty much into impotence. In other words, it's largely falling apart. One of the permanent products of the 9/11 truth movement was a newspaper here in Washington called the Rock Creek Free Press, which was founded by the D.C. 9/11 truth group. Well, that newspaper has now ceased publication.
It has?
As of the current issue. Yeah.
Oh,
after 5 years, they've given up.
Oh.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But that's simply the idea. And it also has to do with letting what can we say, letting Cass Sunstein take over your movement. Cass Sunstein, you remember, wrote this article a couple of years back where he demanded the cognitive infiltration of the 9/11 truth movement. Now, this guy's now sitting in the White House. His wife, Samantha Power, is the person who ran the destabilization of Tunisia. She ran the destabilization of Egypt. She was sending orders to Field Marshal Tantawi in Cairo, telling him to get Mubarak out. So Cass Sunstein, and he wanted the cognitive infiltration. And it's clear that that's not going to be done necessarily by people who come on as neocons and warmongers and racists and militarists. It's going to be carried out by people who come under left cover, because that's the secret of the whole age of Obama, is that you can do bigger and better crimes under left cover than you can under reactionary and neocon auspices. So a lot of these dubious characters who emerged in the 9/11 truth movement in 2006, 2007, and then began banning and slandering and excluding the other people who had been prominent in the movement before that, and you have to ask yourself, isn't this an example of Cass Sunstein? Plus, of course, when you get to WikiLeaks, it couldn't be clearer, right? You've got Julian Assange, the great WikiLeaks artist, and his view of 9/11 is that it annoys him that people are interested in 9/11. In other words, the major, by all odds, the most important covert operation of the age, he finds irrelevant, and he wants you to look into his stories, which then all turn out to be things that help the imperialist cause, that Ben Ali is corrupt, that Gaddafi has a Ukrainian nurse, that Mubarak is corrupt, that Berlusconi is no good, that Karzai is no good, that Putin is no good, and so forth. Now, there's nothing that hurts anybody in London or Washington or Tel Aviv, but plenty that hurt their intended victim. So I think that's sort of the idea. Plus, the general idea is that the Obama regime, the Obama campaign, planned in many ways as a covert operation, you might say, a color revolution, it's certainly that, sucked all the oxygen out of the room, so that not just the peace movement has collapsed, but the 9/11 truth movement has pretty much collapsed too.